97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak here till 6 o'clock. Tonight, the Twitter poll question of the day. As I said on the previous side, the question is, how would you characterize the Eagles' season? A, mildly stimulating. B, entertaining. 3, gratifying. Or I should say C, gratifying. Or D, unwatchable. And we're going to go to our esteemed producer, Connor Thomas, for an update on the Twitter poll.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, so leading the way right now is mildly stimulating with 51.8% of the vote. In second place is entertaining with 26.1%. Third place is gratifying at 11.1%. Actually, it's tied for third between gratifying and unwatchable, both at 11.1%. That's with about 220 votes in.
Unwatchable has about 11%?
Yeah, tied with gratifying at 11.1%.
No kidding. Interesting. All right, thanks, pal. It's Connor Thomas, our esteemed producer. Interesting. See, I'd put it somewhere. There's two answers I could give and get away with. I say mildly stimulating and gratifying. For me personally. Because I thought there was some football that was mildly stimulating. See, they're not a big play team. So it's like you're not going to find a lot of great calls and a lot of gash plays and chunk plays and, you know, 65-yard bombs or pick sixes. You know, it's not a flashy team. But there were some moments, and gratifying because they staved off, all intents and purposes, about 6 elimination games. And they were about 6-1 in elimination games, especially down the stretch. They were all playoff games. Yeah, technically they played one playoff game. They played 5 if you include the games starting from the New York Giants game here at the Link, where they were down 17-3 at the break, came back, and then went on that run, especially with what they had to work with. Just an amazing. It became a national story how ridiculous it was for this team to keep on winning. And, it just went to Carson Wentz, you know, and how much of a leader he is, how great he is, how great he is under pressure. He answered a lot of my questions. I came out with a lot of questions at the beginning of the year. One, does he have the clutch gene? The other one I had, I'm going to throw this out there. The other one I had about Carson Wentz, obviously, can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? Because year one, he made it through the year, and then year two was with the knee, and then year three was with the back. In college, he broke his thumb. So here we are. He makes it through 16 games, pretty much, you know, unnicked. He was clean, but then he goes out with the concussion, and he doesn't finish the season again. 3 straight seasons, 3 straight playoff appearances, 3 straight seasons where Carson Wentz doesn't finish the season. I'm on both ways on this because I can see, you can say, bro, how's he going to avoid that? The guy came and you speared him in the back and he had a concussion. How can you avoid that? How can you be injury prone by that? That would have crushed anyone's head. Okay, I got you. I got your point. I see that. The other side is, bottom line, he did not finish the season. 3 straight seasons, 3 straight playoff appearances, 3 straight seasons where Carson Wentz didn't finish the season. I think it might be a little harsh to throw that in with injury prone in that situation. And some other people I've talked to say it was unavoidable. Yeah, okay. I'll hear you on that side. How about the back? That was unavoidable. I don't know how he threw his back out or cracked his back. The knee, was that avoidable? You know, within the heat of the game, not really. He's running for a touchdown. We all wanted him to do more of that this year. At least I did. Get out of the pocket. Use your legs. You know, don't be afraid to pick up some extra yardage. Move the sticks. Move the ball, because the Eagles had trouble doing that. So I could see it both ways. Let me know what you think, because I know there are some people annoyed as hell out there that he got injured once again. And then I know there's a contingent out there to say, well, come on, you can't call that injury prone. I'm curious to know where you come down on that. I'm still kind of in between. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mike in King of Prussia. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Joe Stazak. How you doing?
Good, pal. How you doing, man?
Good. So here's my opinion, and it's not going to be popular, but I think the Eagles did themselves no favors by making the playoffs, because I feel like when I heard Howie talk, I know he acknowledged that signing older players and that he fell in love with them was one thing, but I really thought he harped a lot on injuries as being the main issue this season. And I feel like they're going to be like, hey, we made the playoffs, and if it wasn't for all these injuries, you know, we would have been there. And not, and they totally overlooks how bad they were with their evaluations of players. So, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside instead of D.K. Metcalf is going to haunt this team forever. And I just think they're focusing on the wrong things here. And I worry about that going forward, about really have they looked themselves in the mirror and made the right calls about why the season went so poorly.
You know, I think it's a false sense of self-worth is what you're talking about. It happens to other teams. I've seen the Flyers do it where they win and, you know, they advance to another round and they get to the finals maybe. And it's not a very good team. You still got to blow up the team. They just happen to get real hot. Now, hang in there, Mike. I wanted to play a cut from Howie. He talked about the injuries and what to do to get better this week at one of his press conferences.
I think when you have a disappointing season, it's not just on the players and the coaches. It's also on the front office. And that starts with me. And I'm sorry to our fans. They give us tremendous support.
Yeah, they do. So he apologized. That doesn't do us much. He still needs, they have 10 picks this year, Mike. They got to hit on plenty of them because it's basically a rebuilding. They got to rebuild this team.
Joe, you know me, and I'm not a Howie guy.
Yep.
I think he is overrated. I think he doesn't know what he's doing. I think he fancies himself a talent evaluator, and he's dropped the ball so many times. And I go into this, and I just don't trust him to pull this out with this draft. And this is why I wanted there to be, like, a collapse at the end of the season, because I need the owner to look to be the one and say, hey, this guy is in charge of this talent evaluation and the players coming in, and he's screwing it up. And he was able to get rid of his best friend in Joe Banner, and I'd love to have Joe Banner back. I'd rather have Joe Banner at this point because at least he can get rid of old players.
Like, he never had a problem doing that.
Even Howie himself said he fell in love with players. Like, that's your job, to be objective and not be a fanboy.
You're right.
He's a fanboy. Like, yep. he's a fanboy and fell in love with players. Like, you and I had talked, Brandon Graham should not have gotten paid what he got paid. And Jason Peters shouldn't have been on this team. And you can't make the mistake of paying Malcolm Jenkins a ton of money. He's old and he doesn't play safety. He plays linebacker. Like, we have to be serious and make some real hard decisions. And I don't think they're going to make them.
You know, that's a great call, Mike. I appreciate it, man. Always great talking to Mike from King of Prussia. The false sense of self-worth. I heard a lot of that as the Eagles were playing down the stretch. And it's happened before. I remember, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but the Flyers back in the 80s when they ended up losing to Edmonton, 85 and 87, there were some folks that said, you know what, this is going to hurt this team in the next few years. Because they had, like, you know, Ron Sutter and Peter Zezel and Rick Tocchet and Derek Smith. Okay guys, but guys that weren't, you know, like elite players, but they were playing at an elite level. And I think people were afraid back then. I remember talking about it with some folks that, guys I worked with at Prism, how it might give the team a sense of false sense of self-worth going forward. I'm curious to know what you think about that, because I'm always, in terms of football, I'll always take the playoff game. Give me an extra week of fun. Give me an extra week of hype. Give me an extra week of football. Give me an extra week of a possibility of advancing. You know, we've seen that before. We've seen teams catch lightning in a bottle. The Giants did it twice, ended up in two Super Bowl rings for Eli Manning and the crew. Here's the thing I will say to Mike and King of Prussia. By the way, the Eagles picked 21st now because they made the playoffs and ended up where they are. They picked 21st in next year's draft. Just keep that in mind. They have 10 picks as well. Does Jeffrey Lurie, do you think he doesn't see that? Do you think he's really going to get fooled by that? Do you think he's really going to get fooled by that? I don't think so. I think he knows what he watched this year. And even the games where they ended up winning down the stretch, it was tough to watch. It really was tough to watch. Sands, a couple drives, a couple big drives here and there. Not knowing, you know, Robert Davis, not even knowing the names of the guys who Wentz was throwing to. I mean, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie is blind to it. And I think, you know, he's gonna get after Howie Roseman to, you know, got to do a better job. You can't fall in love with players. That's a fireable offense. You can't fall in love with players. Joe Banner, when you hit 30, man, you better be, you know, keeping yourself away from that locker room because your pink slip is going to be in your locker. Once you hit 30 with Joe Banner around. Now, Malcolm Jenkins, I love Malcolm Jenkins. He's one of the few playmakers they have on defense. He's a great leader. He's always making huge plays. Always making huge plays. Made that, you know, the strip sack in New York, the Giants game where Fletcher Cox jumped on it and ended up at the 1 yard line, changed that game around. He makes so many, so many, so many big plays. He knocked out Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl. You know, left the Patriots down a receiver and kind of sent a message. I mean, he's just a great leader. He's 32 years old. His best years are behind him. They should not back up the truck for Malcolm Jenkins. As much as I hate to say that and to hear that, because I would love to give him money, you know, retroactively for what he's done. He's done such a phenomenal job. But he's 32 years old. How long can he play at this level? In fact, a lot of folks thought he took a step back this year. But he still came, you know, up with big plays down the stretch, and he's got a nose for the football, and he's a great leader in the locker room. But he's 32 years old. This is where you earn your keep if you're Howie Roseman. All right, you can't fall in love. You can't be emotional about these players. Yeah, he was one of the guys who won you a Super Bowl. See, that's hard to separate because. First team to ever win a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia. It gave Howie Roseman some cachet. Jeffrey Lurie's first ring. Now he's part of the club. And I mean, you feel indebted to these guys. But it's still a business. And it's a business going forward. And you can't get caught up in it. So unfortunately, if it was me, listen, Malcolm, love you to death, brah. And you did so many great things. And you will always be remembered here as the great leader you were and the playmaker and blah, blah, blah. One of the great safeties, maybe second behind Brian Dawkins, if I may, because he was just so phenomenal for what he's done. But I can't pay you all this money, bro. You're 32 years old. At some point real soon, you're going to fall off the cliff. So they have to get ready to make tough decisions like that. Brandon Graham, $30 million over 3 years at 31. And he was only, to me, he's an above-average pass rusher, has always been. He's not a havoc wreaker. He played well this year. And there were times where he came up with huge plays. He came up with one of the biggest plays in Eagle history, the strip sack off of Tom Brady. But you can't give a guy $30 million over 3 years for, what, five sacks a year? But again, he made one of the greatest plays in Eagles history. You know, pay the man. You can't do that. And I think Howie knows that. If he doesn't know it by now, then he's missing something and should be escorted from the building at this point. You just can't get too emotional when it comes to your players, and you have to think about it like a business. Joe Banner did. Joe Banner would, you know, shake your hand, give you a hug, and you turn around, you know, you got a knife in your back. It's just the way it goes. It's business. Remember the Brian Dawkins thing? Everyone hated Joe Banner for it, you know? He might have had another year or two left in him, and it was kind of an unceremonious way to say goodbye, but, you know, he dropped off a cliff. You know, guys drop off of cliffs. It happens. It happens quickly. Rarely do you see that not happen. The father time catches up with you because he's undefeated the last time I checked. It'll happen to Brady if it already hasn't started to happen. You know, it happened to Darren Sproles. Happened to T.O. You know, so they have to rebuild. They have 10 picks in the upcoming draft, and they have to hit them. They have to hit their picks. I mentioned Dallas Goedert since 2013, since that draft that brought in Lane Johnson and Zach Ertz, and then Aguilar was in 15, I think. That was in 13. The impact players that they've drafted, Carson Wentz. I mentioned Johnson and Ertz. That wasn't Howie's draft, but it was Chip Kelly's draft. Okay, fine. In 2015, they take Aguilar, and some people will even fight me on that. He wasn't a real impact guy. No, he wasn't really. He had a very nice Super Bowl. Very nice Super Bowl. And again, he got paid $9 million this year. Is that kind of a coincidence? All right, so after that, I'm looking up and down the list. I'm looking at Carson Wentz. I'm looking at Dallas Goedert. And anyone want to help me out? Impact guys? Like real legitimate impact guys? Like DK Metcalf is an impact guy. DK Metcalf is an impact guy. Made an impact right away. This team needs to have rookies that don't take 3 to 4 years to develop. They need to have guys that come in off the street and make an impact. That's what first-round picks are supposed to do. To a lesser degree, second-round picks make an impact for your team right away. Can't wait 3 and 4 years for these guys to develop. Anybody that takes 3 or 4 years to develop from when they started their career is not going to be an impact guy. It's not going to be an elite player. They have had so much trouble drafting elite players and impact guys. I heard someone wanted to get rid of Dallas Goedert in an Alshon Jeffrey trade. Well, it depends what you're getting back from. I would never just say summarily no to that, but he's an impact guy. He really is. To me, he was on the fence, too. I've gone over this before. He was on the fence, but what I've seen down the stretch, Dallas Goedert's an impact guy, and they don't have too many of them. They don't have too many of them, and they really have to do a better job at drafting, or Howie Roseman might not be around too much longer. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mark and Wayne. You're on 97.5. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Joe. Happy New Year. I agree a lot with what the last caller said. Real quick, with respect to this recent decision to get rid of the OC and the receivers coach, I am all for it. A lot of people are bogged down in process. I couldn't care less about process. I care about the results. So that was a smart move. And I think that what you'll see is I think Lurie had a hand in that. And here's my theory, Joe. I think Lurie remembers when Andy Reid went off the rails. When was that? Unfortunately, Jim Johnson passed. Harbaugh left. Childress left. He screwed up with Sean McDermott. That's when Andy went off the rails. And I think Lurie looks at that and he says, hey, we're going to jump on this. Second part of that is I think Lurie's position is I got $140 million locked up in this quarterback. I need a quarterback whisperer and an OC who are going to, you know, get every ounce of talent out of this guy as he's entering his prime. And I think he's going to do the same thing with Howie. If you remember, it was Lurie who pushed for Douglas to come in. Now you have Andy Weedle. I don't know if he's the guy, but I think they need another talent evaluator. Howie's good with the cap, he's good with trade, but they've whiffed significantly, particularly in the middle round.
You think?
They got 10 picks. They got to get 8 impact players. I don't mean starters, but 2 big impact players, 2 or 3 guys that play part-time, and 2 or 3 that play well on special teams.
And usually, if you hit 50%, you're thought of as doing very well.
Right. And the other thing, Joe, is the key word for Howie should be speed, speed, speed. Way too slow at wide receiver, way too slow in the secondary. And if I'm Lurie, I say to Howie, and full confessions, my daughter goes to Alabama, I say, Howie, you only draft players from the SEC, Clemson, and Ohio State. Don't bring in any more Pac-12.
Mark, I loved your call, and I appreciate it, bud. That's great stuff out of Mark. A lot of that stuff I agree with. And I do get more excited when I see a guy that came from a big-name program like Alabama, because he's already an elite player in college playing at the highest level for the team that plays at the highest level, or an LSU or a Clemson. I hate when, well, there's an exception. Khalil Mack was from Buffalo. All right. There are guys out there that play for teams that not Division I teams that make it, or lesser Division I teams that make it. But I do like when I see them go after guys that were big names in college, impact guys in college, who could be impact guys at the pros. When they go out and get someone you've never heard of, and oftentimes we've never heard of a lot of these guys. I get it. You know, we're not up to date on all 7 rounds and who's out there and the thousands of kids that are out there. But when there are some guys sitting there that you have heard of, and then you go out and like draft Vannell Pumphrey out of San Diego State. Now, people have heard of him because he led all college football in rushing when he got out of there. But again, he was in the 4th round. No one had taken him, 4th or 5th round. They take a chance on him. He does nothing. Wendell Smallwood, 4th round, same draft. Average to nothing. You know, they drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with the 57th overall pick in the second round. Everyone's going to miss. I get that. But they miss too often. DK Metcalf, 64th pick. Seven picks later, DK Metcalf. Remember him? How about Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State, drafted 13 picks later from DJ Metcalf. 13 picks later. So 19 picks later than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He killed the Eagles this year. He's one of the rookies of the year. He had a great year. Metcalf had a great year. They need guys to have great years, rookies to have great years. Derek Barnett, the much heralded Reggie White 2.0 coming in from Tennessee with 33 career sacks. Bust. Bust. For the expectations put on him, he's a bust. He's an average player. Once in a while, he'll make a play. Made a stupid play in that game against Seattle, getting the 15 yards for roughing the passer. Get away from the quarterback. Don't give the ref an opportunity to blow that. Cost him there. That was a big penalty. That was a big penalty. And I'm not saying his career is a bust because of that penalty. But where's he been? What has he done? Okay, he recovered the ball that Brandon Graham stripped of Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. That's nice. He'll go down in the annals. That's fine. He hasn't done a whole lot since or otherwise. You know, you look at these first round picks. No impact. No legitimate impact. You see guys all the time. Look at Alvin Kamara, the impact he made in his first year. Third round pick. They need to go out and find guys like that. The way Dallas drafts, if they could draft the way Dallas drafted and had the other infrastructure in place, they'd win Super Bowls every year. Dallas is kind of the reverse. They have all these great guys, but everything else, you know, isn't quite right about Dallas because they have so much talent and they draft really, really well. You know, most of their 22 players, starters, are homegrown. First or second round guys that have made an impact. Unfortunately, they don't have the coaching staff and some other things, you know, are a little screwy down there. They don't have a lot of chemistry, but they should learn to draft like the Cowboys, because drafting like the Eagles is only going to yield more of what we've seen over the past couple seasons. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazek here till 6 o'clock tonight. Remember the Twitter poll question. How would you characterize this Eagles season? A, mildly stimulating. B, entertaining. 3, gratifying. And 4, unwatchable. Go to our Twitter page, 97.5 The Fanatic. Give us a hit. We'll update that periodically. And I will be back right after this. I'm here till 6 o'clock. My name's Joe Stazek.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zach.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And we're back. Joe Stazek here till 6 o'clock. It's been quite the passionate show. People are waxing about their team and what they thought of this past year and what they think of future years. And, you know, we talk about the draft. We've been talking about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and, you know, getting drafted before Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf. This was Howie Roseman on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and basically what he was told about him before he was selected.
You know, J.J. is a talented kid. You know, I think back to after the Baltimore preseason game, and it's funny, myself and some members of our personnel staff got some calls from people around the league that maybe he was going to be the rookie of the year. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have to take a jump, because he does. This offseason's really important for him.
Okay, that was actually after he was drafted. Yeah, I don't know what anyone was looking at, but not so much. Not so much rookie of the year. By the way, I misspoke earlier. You know, it's like one of the few times I do that. But I had said, and this didn't sound right as I was reading it, but I forgot to come back and retract and give you the right information. We talked about DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. McLaurin and Metcalf have more yards combined against just the Eagles this year, against just the Eagles, than Arcega-Whiteside has against the rest of the league. Against the rest of the league, Arcega-Whiteside has less yards than McLaurin and Metcalf have put up combined against the Eagles this year. Unbelievable. You know, I talk about how poorly they draft and impact guys. You know, I'm looking, Arcega-Whiteside was a second round pick. I'm looking at Andre Dillard last year. Okay, he wasn't an impact guy this year. I get it. He's playing behind a Hall of Fame. Not his fault. Not his fault. He was serviceable in times where he was used. They need guys to come in and not play behind other people. They need guys to come in and step in right away. We don't know what he's going to be. He was a pass rusher in the Pac-10 where they sling the ball every down. We don't know if he can run block. In fact, that's been a criticism of his. Clayton Thorson, I have no idea why he was selected. That's a wasted pick. Clayton Thorson, really? From Northwestern? Where did we see highlights of him? He only had five picks. And you use one on Clayton Thorson. You know, other guys, serviceable to good guy, have been picked up in the fifth round. I mentioned Dallas Goedert, first pick in 2018, second round. They went up to get him. All right, that looks like a good pick. Avante Maddox, Josh Sweat, Matt Pryor, Jordan Mailata. Give me an impact guy there. Anyone? Anyone want to point out an impact guy? Yeah, Maddox plays a little bit. Josh Sweat hardly plays. You go down the previous year, 2017, first round, Derek Barnett with the 14th pick overall. Bust. And when I say bust, I'm saying bust compared to his expectations. You know, if he was a fourth round pick, he'd be fine. First round pick, 14th overall, the next coming of Reggie White, bust. Sidney Jones, so far, bust. Rasul Douglas, plays once in a while. Hey, how about Mac Hollins in the fourth round? Bust. Donnell Pumphrey? Bust. Shelton Gibson? Bust. Nathan Gary? All right. Not an impact guy, but can play a little bit. And Elijah Qualls. That's the last three drafts. Again, if you had a fantasy team, and these were the players you were given to draft, outside of Goddard, I'd be like, I don't want to play in this league. This isn't going to be fun. These guys stink. How's this going to be fun? Yeah, and before that, then you have to go back to 2016. Carson Wentz, obviously. Of course, he could have been a bust. He was. That was great. Love what Howie Roseman did there. Went from 13 to 8 to 2 to draft his guy. And it wasn't Jared Goff. I know that he gave the old GM speak about, we'll take either one of them. They wanted Carson Wentz. Got him. Great pick. Isaac Seumalo. Second pick overall in the third round? Please. Wendell Smallwood? How'd he do this year? Vitae? Serviceable backup. And inconsistent. Blake Countess? Jalen Mills? All right, he's not an impact guy. He can play a little corner. Probably their best corner that they have. He's not an impact guy. Although, in the seventh round, I like the pick. For a seventh round guy, although he was slated to be a second round pick, and then he got into some trouble off the field and he dropped, he plummeted. Alex McAllister, Joe Walker. I mean, seriously, I just went over the last 4 years. The last 4 years, I'm coming up with Carson Wentz and Dallas Goedert. That will come back to haunt you. You will set your franchise back about another 6 or 7 years when you draft like that. Those are four drafts, and I know they say, and I say this too, you can't really evaluate a draft until 3 or 4 years down the road. I get all that. That's fair. I can tell who's not going to be a star. It's everyone I mentioned except for Dallas Goedert and Carson Wentz. I can tell that. They might be serviceable players. They might have decent careers. I can tell you, I did not mention one star outside of Dallas Goedert and Carson Wentz. This team needs stars. You know, they have Jordan Howard. I thought one of the great trades I've ever seen for a six-round pick. In the last 3 years, last four years, despite missing a bunch of games this year, he still leads the league in rushing. He was great when he played for the team this year, when they finally got him in gear and he became the number one back. What a 1-2 punch with Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. Now I'm hearing, well, they're going to get rid of him because you can't have two backs like that in the backfield. Miles Sanders is blah, 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 blah. Miles Sanders has done a great job this year, catching balls out of the backfield, chunk plays. Is he your franchise running back, though? I don't know about that. And you have a franchise running back in Jordan Howard. Maybe you want to go maybe a rung down or two. But that's your guy. He should be able to start on like 25 teams as the number one running back. You're just going to summarily get rid of Jordan Howard? I like the way they had it. I liked Howard and then Sanders. Sanders is going to do most of his damage, catching balls out of the backfield, catching balls downfield. I don't know if he's your franchise running back yet. I don't. If you asked me after five games, I'd say absolutely not. Remember when the Eagles kept trying to force feed us Miles Sanders and he wasn't doing squat except getting open for like 50 yards, 60 yard catches? Jordan Howard is a semi-star and it looks like they're going to get rid of him. 610-632-0975. We shall see. David, Center City on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
Joseph, happy spring in January.
Yeah, man. How about that? It's phenomenal outside. You too, my friend.
Thank you. I have two major concerns.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about a watered-down NFC this year. Okay.
Yeah.
Last 4 years, Drew Brees and the Saints don't have any heart anymore. You saw what happened to them losing those. Okay. Russell Wilson is a washed-up midget. Okay.
With this washed up midget.
So the Vikings are going to come out of the NFC this year. That is how watered down it is. The Eagles, with their cast of, what do you want to call them, misfits, practice squad players, they would have done the NFC more justice if Carson doesn't get hurt. They beat Green Bay this week, and then they beat Minnesota in the NFC title game. And I'll tell you what, the AFC representative is going to embarrass the NFC team this year. They wouldn't embarrass the Eagles. But, Joseph, I wanted to pinpoint something. When Nicky Six left for greener pastures, okay, I said, we have to get a serviceable backup in
right
here.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Sure.
A.J. McCarron was available. I don't know if he's serviceable. Flacco had yet signed with Denver. Tannehill had yet signed with Tennessee. If we would have had these guys in here, okay, and, you know, bravo to McCown playing with a hamstring separated from the bone. But we have a serviceable backup. We win that game, Joseph. And it's a shame we just left another coulda, shoulda, woulda further in the playoffs on the table this year, Joe.
Yeah, I think they should have won the game. I really do. I don't know how much further they would have gone. And you mentioned Flacco. Flacco probably wanted starter money. Now, Tannehill's a guy that I've never been high on, but he would be certainly a serviceable backup. He's been very good in place of Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. But McCown did fine. He was, 18 of 24, .174. You can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, I know. But the 8 sacks is unacceptable.
Yeah, the six is not good.
So if it were the old days, let's say that was Kenny Stabler that took that hit. He'd walk to the sidelines. Madden would tell him, go get some smelling salts. Okay, coach, I'm going back in. And if it was against the Colts, later in that game, Ted the Mad Hendricks Stork, Ted Hendricks,
yeah,
would have pile drive Burt Jones. Joe, I love you. Take care.
You too, David. Take care, my man. Have a great night. I love Dave. it always gives you a different perspective. I'm going to talk more about his call on the other side. Teddy Hendricks, by the way, giving us a little U-love, went to the University of Miami. I'll talk about that hit a little bit more on the other side. Jadeveon Clowney, Carson Wentz, and was Carson Wentz heroic, as he's been called, by bringing that to the attention of the medical staff? We'll get your opinion on that right after this. I'm Joe Stazak here till 6 o'clock, folks. Give me a call.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we're back. Vikings and 49ers underway. No score in the first quarter out in San Francisco. I'm here till 6 o'clock. My name's Joe Stazak with my man Connor Thomas, producer extraordinaire. We'll be here till 6 o'clock tonight. I was talking about Carson Wentz on the previous side and the hit he took from Jadeveon Clowney. We've kind of sprinkled it in throughout the show on replay. I mean, it looks like he was targeted, basically. I mean, that was leading with your helmet. That was textbook leading with your helmet. He was on top of him, and he bent his head down. It's not like he just landed on him. Clowney bent his head down, drilled it right into the back of Wentz's head, then did it again when he came down. Then Wentz hit the ground flat. So he wasn't fined. There was no penalty. Should have been both. I don't know how you missed that. Everyone's trying to protect the quarterbacks, and they called that personal foul on Derek Barnett when he obviously was trying to hold Russell Wilson up because he lost his balance. He ends up on top of him, gets 15 yards. It was a third down play that went awry. It would have been fourth down. They got an opportunity and ended up scoring a touchdown. But this play, how do you miss this? You know, you're always watching for the quarterbacks and watching out for the quarterbacks, and I know he didn't slide. When you slide, you're giving yourself up. And it's right at the beginning of your slide, too. That's when you're giving yourself up. That's where the ball is. That's where the ball is placed, by the way. When you start your slide, not where you end up, even if you're not touched, it's where you start your slide. We've seen guys, you know, kind of go in, make some contact, 15 yards. Don't hit the quarterback. He's sliding. Well, he wasn't sliding. He was diving. But still, Clowney, all of 275 pounds, jumps on Wentz after he was down. This was one of those, he was already tackled. You see a guy coming in sometimes who's already kind of in motion and kind of lays a shoulder in or whatever. Guys like to stick their heads in even if they're not making the play. Well, Wentz was already being tackled. Clowney comes in, jumps on him, and leans with his head and hit him twice. No flag, no penalty, and no fine. To me, the fine is what I don't get. I'm not just saying this because I'm an Eagles fan. I'm a Carson Wentz fan. He knocked Wentz out of the game, so it was obviously a severe hit with a concussion, and he did it twice. And to me, it looked like he bent his helmet down, and he landed on Wentz after the play was basically done. It was a bang-bang play, so it would not have been a late hit, but the way he used his helmet, to me, should have been a penalty, should have been a fine as well. This was Doug Peterson earlier this week talking about that play.
I saw it again on Monday. It's unfortunate. Did I feel like it was potentially an illegal hit? It's possible, but listen, it's part of our game. It happens. It gets missed. It's unfortunate for Carson. I'm disappointed for Carson that he obviously couldn't finish, you know, that postseason game. Unfortunate for our team.
That was Doug Peterson talking about the play. He actually kind of took the high road on that. He's kind of a nice guy. You don't see him get fired up too much. Kind of took the high road. I know the show before me, Rob Motti, was trying to figure out why. Why wouldn't you say, yeah, that should have been a penalty? It's like you're sticking up for your guy. I question that, too. I mean, maybe you don't give your opinion on the fine, but on the penalty, it should have been a penalty. It cost your team the game, basically. I'd have been out of my mind. I'd have been out of my mind if I was the head coach. And not just because, you know, Wentz is my boy. That was a penalty. That should have been a fine, and it knocked your quarterback out of the game. and probably ended up costing you the game. So for him to take the high road, again, the only thing I could think of is the same thing that Rob Motti thought of. Maybe they're looking to kick the tires on Clowney in the offseason because it's a free agent. And possibly get into talks with him. And it might be a little awkward getting into talks when you're basically calling for the league to implement a fine on this guy and calling him dirty and calling it a cheap shot and whatever. So, you know, that might have been why there was some, you know, pullback on that by Doug Peterson. Otherwise, I can't figure it out as well. Should have been a penalty. Should have definitely been a fine. You know, they have the 21st pick in the league next April or whatever it is, May, early May, late April, the draft. There's one guy playing still you want to keep an eye on. His name is Justin Jefferson from LSU. 102 receptions this year, 1,434 yards, 8 touchdowns, 14.1 yards per catch. There are a couple other guys. He might be the third wide receiver taken. You know, the Raiders need a wide receiver. I'm not sure who else needs a wide receiver, but these guys are elite guys. You also have T. Higgins from Clemson. So you'll be able to see T. Higgins and Justin Jefferson play on Monday night. You'll be able to see two guys, one of whom might end up on your team next year. 6'4", 200 pounds, his sophomore and junior year combined, 115 receptions, 2,051 yards, 25 touchdowns. He averages 17.8 yards per catch. Then you have, and these guys were all in the final four. Go figure. This cat's from Oklahoma. CeeDee Lamb, a junior, 62 grabs, 13-27, 14 touchdowns. But get ready for it. He averages 21.4 yards per catch. The edict for this team next year, snag one of these guys, please. Snag one of these guys. I think they like CeeDee Lamb from what I'm hearing, but the Raiders also like CeeDee Lamb, and he might not get past the 12th pick. I don't know if three wide receivers are going to go in the first 20 picks. There are some more wide receivers in the draft who could turn out to be star players. I'm just going over the three top wide receivers, and I wanted you to mention them because you can watch them play on Monday night in the championship game. You have T. Higgins out of Clemson and Justin Jefferson out of LSU. T. Higgins out of Clemson, Justin Jefferson out of LSU. Keep your eye on those two guys. One of them might be a Philadelphia Eagle at the end of the draft next year. And we shall see. About the game, I actually like Clemson with the points. I don't know who's going to win the game, but out of principle, you have a national champion and twice winner in the last 3 years of the national championship in the championship game again with a 29-game winning streak getting 6 points. I'll take that. I don't care how good LSU looks. First of all, anyone would have smacked Oklahoma around. Not to take anything away from the Tigers. Joe Burrow's phenomenal. I get it. Jefferson's a great receiver. I like the coach. I like his voice. You wonder how you can get so low. That voice, and the Go Tigers from Ed Orgeron. Clemson's a champion, man. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. Like I said, 29-game winning streak. They've already won. This won't be their second. This will be their third in 4 years if they win it. But they've already won two in 3 years, both coming against, wait for it, Alabama and Nick Saban. 29-game winning streak, getting 6 points. Yeah, I'll take that team. I like Dabo Sweeney, too. And they also, it's not like they have some schleck as their quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, probably the top-rated quarterback coming out when he comes out. It'll be next year. If he came out this year, I think he'd get selected over Burrow, too. If he came out this year, I think so. I don't know where Tua's going. I love Tua. I would take him. I might take him. Well, he's injured. So if that's going to be an injury that heals 100%, I might take Tua over those two guys. But that's just me. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll give you an update on that Niners game. Both teams have scored. I'll give you an update when we come back. I'm Joe Stajak here at 6 o'clock tonight. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.